Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. I will, towards the end of the show, give you the, Yes, I have it right here. This is how you can support RBN, which you need to, because it's the last bastion of free speech in the universe. So, if you have PayPal, or even if you don't have PayPal, you can donate via PayPal. You can use a credit card, donate via PayPal, and that would be at republicbroadcasting.org after you've clicked the donate button. But you also have other options. You can call 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and you can donate via credit card or presumably maybe another option over the phone. Finally, you can send a check. You can send a check to 2215 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So the phone number, once again, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and the address, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Also, while you're at it, go to nationalbugle.com, click on the co-certified link, download the app, or use the app online. You can do it. Lots of great information there. You know, if you want to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, there is now non-kosher certified certification. So you can get, and the great thing about it is co-certified doesn't charge products anything to certify them as non-kosher certified, because we already know. We're already doing the work. We're already doing the work to know what's non-kosher certified. And if a product like the Great White Soap Company wants to get that certification as being non-kosher certified, co-certified does it, because we are genuinely concerned about people's health and life, and the health and life of society. So we do that for free. It's great. All right. Pardon the background noise. This is Patrick walking his dog's edition. At least this segment is. I had a great guest scheduled for today, but things happened. And so that great guest will be probably next week. Probably. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Maybe tomorrow is going to be the Patrick and Jeremy show like it usually is. We'll see. And not that Jeremy's not a great guest. But we'll see. Otherwise, it'll come. You know, RBN will be off on Thanksgiving and the following day because I don't want to say because even free speech needs a vacation. but even the people who bring you free speech need a day off every now and then. So that's how that's gone. Okay, so enough of the housekeeping. There was an interesting development. I don't think I talked about it on Friday. Maybe we did talk about it on Friday. Certainly didn't talk about it with Mark Collett yesterday. And that is True News. Yeah, I guess I talked about it some on Friday. I'll just recap it. True News, which is a news site with a YouTube channel that has a Christian conservative, not necessarily anti-white perspective, and they came out with a well over an hour, probably about 90 minutes worth of one of their newscasts, and it was done on the very, very prominent Jewish role in the impeachment hearings, the impeachment of Donald Trump. And this is something they called the Jew coup. Of course, I've been calling it the Jew d'etat. But maybe they've listened in on my show. Maybe great minds think alike. Whatever. it's, I think, a very objective analysis. All you're doing is noticing. It's just noticing. That's all it is. And they were noticing the common ethnic origins of Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler and Elliot Engel, who lead, well, Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler are leading committees that are going to be handling the inquiry in the House of Representatives. Adam Schiff's already had his go at it, and Gerald Nadler, who heads the Judiciary Committee, I believe, is going to have a go at it, unless they think that his optics are too bad, because, you know, he used to be very, very obese, and now that he's lost weight, he looks kind of like, well, kind of like Count Chocula, but actually scarier, and maybe not quite as purple in his skin coloration. Much more Jewish looking than Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff could get away with not being Jewish. Of course, his last name is Schiff, and he's got his agenda. Gerald Nadler, not so much. Gerald Nadler represents New York, not California, so he's got a more distinctive accent, and he's got a more distinctive look, and even for that look, like I say, because he had been so overweight for so long, and then I don't know what he did to lose the weight, but he's got the very saggy skin on his face. He just looks like a cartoon vampire is what he looks like. He looks like a vampire. So we'll see. I believe that the Judiciary Committee under Gerald Nadler will have a go at this. But, you know, noticing that Elliot Engel, who is the head of the Foreign Relations Committee, he's not going to have a go at this, but he was, I believe, the first person to introduce, was he the first? He introduced articles of impeachment against President Trump, and I believe that was very early on. I think that was, if it wasn't the first, it was probably in May, right after the Comey, right after Comey was fired, so it was over Comey. There might have been somebody else who introduced articles of impeachment, shortly after the election, but there was talk about it, for sure, and, you know, you have some people in the Black Congressional Caucus, like Maxine Waters. I think she introduced something at some point. She's certainly been talking about it a long time. But then later in the summer, you had Representative Steve Cohen, not to be confused with my hero, Professor Stephen F. Cohen, not to be confused, just that they have basically the same name. It's a very common name, unfortunately. And Representative Steve Cohen, who represents Memphis in Tennessee, and he introduced articles of impeachment shortly after Charlottesville, days after the Charlottesville incident, the Charlottesville riot against white people, basically. And he introduced it because, I guess, Trump all racist. I don't know. I don't remember exactly why. But then, of course, when you look at the list of witnesses, you know, you had Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you had, who else did you have? You had the Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, both of whom are of Ukrainian Jewish extraction, with Alexander Vindman having been born in the Ukraine, and Yovanovitch having been born in the United States, been born in Canada and then came to the United States. You know, just a whole bunch of, it's not like all the people who are testifying are Jewish, but you've got Ambassador Sondland, and then of course you've got these two Ukrainian Jews who were involved with Giuliani, and then the president of the Ukraine, and it just kind of goes on and on. And it's a little bit tough just to say, hey, guys, it's just a big coincidence, because it's more than a coincidence. And then, of course, what they didn't talk about so much, but they might have well have, maybe they mentioned it. It's a very good broadcast, and I recommend it. You should be able to find it. Well, you can find it via the Daily Stormer, I'm sure, if that YouTube video is still up. But what they could have emphasized more, perhaps, would be the Jewish nature of the media. And maybe they did. Maybe they did a perfectly fine job of this. But the Jewish nature of the media that's been promoting the impeached Trump, the overthrow Trump narrative, which, you know, obviously CNN, which has been 24/7. And we know that Jeff Zucker, who runs CNN, he has been having, is it daily or weekly? He's been having these regular conference calls with people from the various programs. And it's saying, look, you got to pound away on Trump. It's going to be anti-Trump 24/7. And that's what it is. Anti-Trump 24/7. And then you look at MSNBC and their people, you know, Andrea Mitchell. I mean, Andrew Lack, I guess he runs NBC. He's Jewish. And then, you know, you got Jewish heads of these big TV conglomerates. I don't have all my notes in front of me, but you've heard the names. And then, of course, the faces. MSNBC has some, not all of their faces are Jewish faces, but Rachel Maddow, who is their number one face, and, you know, she's been pushing this, Andrea Mitchell. And even over on Fox, you know, which has been, well, you've had some people like Shep Smith, who's no longer with Fox, who were pretty hostile to President Trump, but Chris Wallace, of course. And so you have it all over the place. And how much of this, there obviously you have other people who are involved who aren't Jewish, but the massive Jewish overrepresentation, it's not just simply that they're overrepresented, but whenever you see Jews overrepresented at such numbers, it always equates with domination. That you're not going to have, you know, a room that's, or a room or a movement or whatever that's 30% Jewish, where Jews aren't pretty much controlling the agenda, because they have a kind of cohesion that others don't have, and they also, just having any Jews in the room makes it impossible for anyone else in the room to say, well, that's a Jewish agenda, or so-and-so is saying that because they're Jewish. They can't do it. So, it's just impossible for serious people not to see what's going on. As long as they haven't been totally blinded and had their powers of distinction, being able to distinguish between Jews and non-Jews, as long as that they haven't been totally had that sense totally destroyed, it's impossible to see all this and not come to the conclusion that I've come to, or the conclusion that True News came to, or so many others. And so then one wonders, at what point do other people start to, you know, in one way or another, express that they've been noticing this? And it's tough. Who can do it? So you've got someone like Ann Coulter, who probably has less to lose because she's largely been deplatformed anyway. So she might have less to lose. She could come out. But how about people with a platform? Because we want that platform. So Rush Limbaugh, could he come out and say this? He's been in this industry a long time. He knows the score. He's covered up for a long time. But, you know, what you see, for instance, when the Soviet Union was falling apart in the 1980s, when I say falling apart, when it was coming upon tumultuous times, and Gorbachev Now, in the case of Gorbachev, he was opening things. He had glasnost. Glasnost was openness. And he was allowing for more and more talk. And as events accelerated and, a crescendo was being reached, people who had been in the establishment media, and they had an establishment media, of course, that's all they had was an establishment media, but people like, I think Vladimir Posner was one, started being able to speak more freely. I don't remember names very well, and it probably doesn't matter because you wouldn't recognize any names, but I did used to listen on shortwave to Radio Moscow, and, their programming, Radio Moscow, not in the wake of the breakup of the Soviet Union, but before the breakup of the Soviet Union, started to be the wild, wild west. You started hearing all sorts of things, and people being critical of the government, but also people being critical of the Jewish role in Soviet history. You're hearing all sorts of things on Radio Moscow in, say, 1991, before the breakup, because the breakup came at, December 31st. It came at the very end of the year. So it had become very, very interesting. Now, in the case of the United States, you're not having an opening, you're having a closing. You're having a deplatforming. But there is still, thanks to those old white guys who framed the Constitution, you still have a First Amendment, which isn't working so well, but it's still on the books, and it still affords a certain amount of protection, or at least, if nothing else, it affords the illusion of protection. And if people think they're protected, if people think they have freedom of speech, then they will say things. They might face consequences that shouldn't be allowed given the First Amendment. But if they think they have freedom of speech, they will say things. And people are... So the question is, does Rush Limbaugh come out and say things? But he's got a lot to lose. But at the same time, he's up there in years. And he's made a huge amount of money over the years. And at some point, maybe, is he considering retirement anyway? And does he say, what the heck? If this gets me kicked off the air, it gets me kicked off the air. This is how I want to go out. Does he say that, or somebody else? Now, a lot of the other radio show hosts, you wouldn't expect it from. You're not going to expect it from the great one, Mark Levin, or, the other leading Jewish hosts like Savage, or I don't know, there are some other names out there. You're not going to expect it from them, and you're not going to expect it from Sean Hannity, who is still in his 50s and has never shown anything of an independent mind, sometimes because even a stop clock is right twice a day. Sometimes he's on the right side and he's doing good work, but it's only a coincidence. But somebody, and obviously then you come to Tucker Carlson, and he's even younger. And, his calculus could be, because he only just turned 50. Do I want to relinquish all of the influence I'm having in a lot of ways, to be explicit about the Jewish role in this effective coup d'etat? And I doubt he would, because of his age and because of his massive platform. And he's been out in the woods before. I'm not even sure why. Maybe just bad ratings. He's been out in the woods before, so I wouldn't expect it from him. Anyway, we will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Welcome back to the show. So, here's the thing. You know, in the first segment I was talking about the Jewish involvement in the impeachment of Donald Trump. And, of course, I'm not the only person who's talking about it. And most recently, the True News channel, TRUNEWS, True News, they've been talking about it. The problem is, this is so difficult to talk about. And I just want to spend a few minutes talking about how difficult it is to talk about. So we have a situation where, you know, what I was just talking about, the first half or the first segment of the show, you've got an effort to basically nullify the 2016 elections, and the anti-Trump movement, the Never Trump movement, the impeach Trump movement has been all along dominated by Jews. It's not to say that everybody involved in it is Jewish or that non-Jews aren't also playing a prominent role. But without the Jewish involvement, it wouldn't be a thing. It really wouldn't be a thing. It would be something that you could ignore. You wouldn't have had those hearings. And you wouldn't have had President Trump on his heels. You wouldn't have had all of President Trump's actions being held up by lower courts. And, you know, a lot of these judges who are striking down his decisions or his like executive actions, nullifying them, holding them back. They're not necessarily Jewish themselves, but without the big push from the media and without the backing in Congress and in other parts of other strongholds of Jewish power, you wouldn't have a Chinese American judge in Maryland issuing the decisions he did. So you've got it. I think, you know, if you watch the True News video, or if you've just been listening to my show, this anti-Trump, never Trump, impeach Trump movement has been Jewish dominated. And of course, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You've got, you know, we've been talking a lot about Jeffrey Epstein case, which is Mossad kosher certification. You know, why does Israeli intelligence need to be screening our politicians and blackmailing our politicians? Why do they need to do this? And of course, you've got the campaign finance. You've got major, huge changes in our society. Gay marriage and homosexuality and all sorts of things. And of course, the whole replacement of the white majority. You're having whites replaced as a majority. We are no longer going to be a majority, and it's very clearly, you can look at Kevin McDonald's book, you can look at a lot of other things. You can look at, when I say Kevin McDonald's book, the chapter, I think it's chapter 4 of the Culture of Critique, which is on the 1965 Immigration Act. You can look at Eugene McCarthy's book, which he does not name Jews, but he does explain how the Congress was fooled by the pro-immigration lobby, and we know the pro-immigration lobby was dominated by Jews. We know Jacob Javits, who wrote an op-ed, who was a congressman at the time, later became senator from New York, wrote an op-ed in some publication, I can't remember what, I think maybe it was in the New York Times, saying open the gates, you know, let's open the gates to massive immigration. So we know this. But you can't talk about the Jewish involvement. And because you can't talk about the Jewish involvement, the Jews get away with really trampling on the interests of the white majority. They're completely trampling on the interests of white majority, and we can't say anything, because if we can't say anything, then Jews will say, oh, it's another Holocaust, you're putting us at risk. Well, no, what's putting Jews at risk, and historically this has been the case, is their behavior. And I don't want any violence against Jews. Of course not. I don't want any animosity towards Jews, but I do want to stop these policies, because I didn't even mention the wars. What about the wars? These wars, which are for, in the case of the Middle East, they're Israeli interests, but in the case of potential war with Russia, this is very largely motivated by diaspora Jewish animosity towards Vladimir Putin for having broken up the big party that they were having at the expense of the Russian goyim. You know, when they took over the economy and took over the society and the levers of power behind the scenes in the Yeltsin administration, and also in front of the scenes. I mean, look at Anatoly Chubais, privatization minister, being very important. But also, you know, you had Jewish prime ministers in his cabinet, but it was really Anatoly Chubais who, if anything else, should be the poster boy of. He was a privatization minister, and how did he lead privatization in a way that was very destructive to the goyim? And so, but if we can't say anything, then there's no check on Jewish behavior. And when Jewish behavior runs amok the way it has been for the past century or more, then you get a situation where, well, if the goyim knew, then there would be angry with the Jews. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilandia.
You are my dream.
Welcome back to the show. So in the last segment, I was saying how difficult this all is. It's difficult because myself or David Duke or Mark Dankoff or so many other people, we have no ill will towards Jews as individuals, but, and really I don't have ill will towards them as a group. It's just that the behavior that we're seeing now, manifested in the Jeffrey Epstein Mossad kosher certification scandal, manifested in the coup d'etat against President Trump, manifested in flooding the United States and Europe with replacement level immigration, manifested in the transformation of our societies away from the traditional values of the European people, such as, you know, heterosexual monogamy, so many things, and the you know, Jewish leading role in all of this. If you can't talk about it, you can't effectively oppose it. And so you're fundamentally changing the society in a way that is very, very adverse to the interests of the majority population. And there's no check on it. There's no check on it because we're not allowed to speak publicly about it. And with no check on it, then it's just going into overdrive, and it's getting crazier and crazier.
You know, in the past, I've talked about two factions of Jews, one being Double or Nothing, and one being Cash in Your Chips. And the Double or Nothing Jews, and I don't mean to sound inflammatory, but they just keep pushing them. So, for instance, you had that there had been a push for gay marriage for 15 years or so, and they got it. And the Cash in Your Chips Jews would have just taken the victory and cashed in their chips and been happy for a while. But the Double or Nothing Jews, the moment that was done, the moment the ink was dry on the Supreme Court decision, they started pushing all of this trannyism. And, you know, you see this in many, many ways. Jeremy often talks about Stephen Steinlight and the Steinlight plan, which could be more of, I don't know if you call it a plan or a policy or a position or an attitude, but it's not as if Stephen Steinlight is against immigration. It's that he's recognized that it's gone on, it's been too fast for too long, and there needs to be a breather, and that it's at the point where assimilation is impossible. And I think the type of assimilation that Stephen Steinlight is most concerned about is assimilating to the post-World War II norm that, you know, the Jewish power can't be questioned, and that the Holocaust narrative can't be questioned. And if you're letting in lots of Ilhan Omars or Rashida Tlaibs, you're going to potentially punch holes in the dike that protects Jewish power from criticism of Jewish power, because you have that now. And so you have, but then you have others who are just so eager to speed up the day in which whites are turned into a minority, and a minority that no longer can wield political power effectively enough to challenge, you know, Jewish domination of society. Some Stephen Steinlight, I think, would be willing to wait. He'd be willing to wait an extra decade or two for that day because things are going fine now. It's but. You know, the boat's on course, so just stay the course, and doesn't want, he would rather not have these immigration extremists rock the boat, and because they are rocking the boat. And when you see you see the caravans, and you see all of these, well, the rapid transformation of communities, produces a backlash, and the backlash was the presidency of Donald Trump. Had Stephen Steinlight gotten his way, and immigration was slower, it wasn't going at quite a fevered pitch, you probably wouldn't have had the election of Donald Trump. I mean, come on. Even if he had managed to secure the Republican nomination, he won by the skin of his teeth. And had immigration for the past, well, Stephen Steinlight wrote a paper, I think, like in 2002 or something, warning against these levels of immigration, and he wrote it at a time where I think he was a high official in the in a major Jewish organization, which maybe it's the American Jewish Committee or something like that. And had his advice been followed, you just wouldn't have had that anti-immigration backlash that Trump barely rode into the White House. So, at any rate, you do have these kind of what I'd call two factions. You see the two factions manifested in regards to Iran, a foreign policy against vis-a-vis Iran, where you have the pro-Likud, pro-Netanyahu faction. Maybe you could call it the Sheldon Adelstein faction. I'm not sure how much Sheldon Adelstein is invested in attacking Iran, but, you know, you've got an attack Iran faction that has been pushing for, I guess, ever since the Iraq invasion to bomb Iran. And you had, you know, John McCain, bomb, 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 bomb Iran, singing it into a microphone that he knew was on. So you have that. And then you have others, like the people who worked under Obama, in the John Kerry State Department, John Kerry being half Jewish himself, but Wendy Sherman in particular, who was the number three person at the State Department, who was in charge of the Iran negotiations, and she's Jewish, Wendy Sherman, and they thought that bomb, bomb, bomb Iran would be going too far. It would destabilize. It would rock the boat. The Iran nuclear agreement wasn't good for Iran. Iran was making nothing but concessions. They weren't getting anything out of it. What did they get out of it? They got their own assets back. I mean, they got their own property back. Is that really a concession? It shouldn't have been taken from them in the first place. And then they got to do much of what any country gets to do, which is to trade with other countries. So it's not like they got anything special out of this. They didn't get anything that they didn't have, or that any country doesn't have the right to do. But they had like any country that's a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, unlike Israel, which is not a signatory, but any country that's a signatory has the right to have a nuclear power industry, and but they had to agree to much more intrusive inspections and restrictions than nobody else has to. And so there you have a clear divide between, don't rock the boat. Things are going fine. Just don't rock the boat. Let's cash in our chips. We've got extra restrictions on Iran, that faction, and then the double or nothing faction, the crazy faction, which is, no, we got to bomb Iran because we've got to make sure, we've got to turn them into the same type of completely destabilized, balkanizing, civil war infested societies that Iraq and Syria have become. But of course, Iran is so much larger, and so a lot of people realize that that's insane. And also, Iran, I think China and Russia have more. When I say invested, I don't mean financially invested, but politically invested in Iran. Now, Syria and Russia had a connection. You see how that played out, where Russia, very reluctantly, but at the end of the day, was able to put its foot down and stop the situation there. But just getting back to the main theme here in this segment, which is, if you can't talk about Jewish power, you can't check it. And unchecked, it becomes kind of ruthless, because unchecked, you get very extreme behavior, and with the extreme behavior, you get an extreme paranoia, and we're seeing this extreme paranoia manifested in the massive deplatforming, where people are being shut down. Their platforms from which they broadcast their ideas get shut down. Their abilities to raise funds, their financial accounts get shut down. You get a great shutting down. And there are two factions. There's a double or nothing faction, and there's a cash in your chips faction. Now, the cash in your chips faction is basically go slow, but go slow towards the same destination. But even so, this cash in your chips, don't rock the boat faction, realizes that so much of what's being done is that's what's creating the potential for massive animosity towards Jews. It's the behavior And it's not just the behavior of the double or nothing people. It's not just the behavior of the people rocking the boat. But the people rocking the boat are creating enough pressure, enough what would you call it? I mean, they're shaking up things, creates the pressure to the point where it could reach the overflow, could reach the explosion. And if you go slow, you can avoid that, right? Obviously, I don't want to be going in that direction in the first place. I don't want to have go slow towards replacement population, you know, replacement level immigration. I don't want to go slow towards transforming society, you know, completely away from our traditional culture. You know, and I don't want go slow towards, you know, a Zionist military domination of the world. That's not what I don't want to go in that direction at all. But there is this go slow faction, and they are recognizing what I'm talking about. They're recognizing that Jewish behavior is creating a backlash. They recognize it, and of course, that's what's happening. And without the ability to talk about Jewish power directly and Jewish behavior directly, because we don't have that ability to talk directly, it means that we can't thwart it. And you have people coming up, well, you can't talk about it directly, so we have to develop different narratives, which aren't as effective and don't make as much sense. So immigration, why is there immigration? Is it in order to turn whites into a minority, because whites are seen as, well, as a majority population, they could potentially have the cohesion and the numbers to once again dominate the society that they form the majority in. Well, you can't say that. And so instead, oh, well, the Democrats are trying to import voters. This is all about perpetual power for Democrats. And you completely leave Jews out of the situation, out of the equation. And it really begs the question, well, I mean, it begs a lot of questions. One is that, you know, why would, I mean, are Democrats going to get perpetual power? Because the thing is, what you're seeing is as you bring in these people into the Democratic Party, they're not interested in having Nancy Pelosi as Speaker anymore. Look at the what happened between AOC and Nancy Pelosi. Why is AOC in Congress? Because she said we shouldn't have a white Irish representative in a district that is largely Hispanic. And so the actual individual Democrats aren't going to get perpetual power. So it really doesn't make sense. And, you know, a lot of these other narratives just don't make sense. And, you know, the war for oil doesn't make sense. All these other narratives that have been used by people who would like to slow down or even oppose the direction that things are going in, they just don't make sense because they're not based on reality. The reality of what's going on is these are Jewish policy priorities. And you have and it's difficult to talk about. But, you know, we've got this vicious circle. Because it's difficult to talk about, because by talking about it, you leave yourself open for charges of anti-Semitism and hate and everything like that. Because it's so difficult to talk about, then there's no effective check on the most egregious behavior and policy. And without any check on the most egregious behavior and policy, the situation becomes that much worse. And, you know, then at some point, there's a breaking point. And what's going to break? How is it going to break? Who knows? Does it break with, I don't want to see any kind of violence. Now, you see, I mean, you see every now and then individuals who either reached their personal breaking point and lashed out. And of course, if these individuals were listening to David Duke or myself, they would know that this is the wrong thing to do. But because our voices get repressed, they don't hear our voices. And so you get these individuals, and in some cases, some of these individuals there may be some FBI or CIA involvement in putting them up to it in one way or another. And, you know, that might sound pretty conspiratorial. And I'm not pointing out any particular instance where I'm saying, oh, yeah, the feds put him up to it. I'm not pointing out any specific instance because I don't have any specific evidence about any of this. But if you believe that the CIA, for instance, as was documented by the Church Committee in the 1970s, that the CIA was behind coup d'etats in Chile and Iran and Guatemala. And, of course, more recently, you had that State Department / CIA coup d'etat in Ukraine. Why is it impossible that the CIA couldn't be involved in coup d'etat here? Why is it impossible that they couldn't be putting up people to atrocities here? Just saying it could happen. Okay, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show. So I'll try to wrap things up here. The thing is, things have gone very, very far. But I mean, personally, I think, you know, they haven't gone too far. That most likely we have to accept a certain amount of water under the bridge. But we can regain control of our society. There doesn't have to be, I mean, to the extent we have violence, that the more violence there is, the greater the odds are that our interests are going to be completely defeated. I think our only path forward is by being able to speak. And when people understand, I think we've got all the tools that we need to take back our society. You know, because we have the power of the purse. There's still an economy. We have power votes. There are still elections, and there's a limit to how much those elections can be cheated. You know, we still have the numbers. What are those numbers? Well, here's one thing. If you're talking about water under the bridge, you know, there are a lot of people, for instance, who came here legally, even illegally, who aren't ever going back. And, you know, the idea of forming a white ethno-state isn't viable. We never had a completely white ethno-state. We always had, even though it was a white country that was primarily, you know, run by whites for the interests of the people, often maybe the people, the elite. I mean, you always have politics that are skewed towards the elite, but still, we always had a black American, a black minority, and we know why they are here, and they have a stake in the country as well. You had American Indians who have a very small population, and maybe that would be a whole another issue to go into. It was primarily due to disease, and in the 1700s, 1600s, 1700s, smallpox was the leading cause of death all over the world. But anyway, that we so it's never been, but you know, very few countries are mono ethnic, and we have to accept a certain amount of assimilation. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to repatriate people who came here illegally. We should. We have the right to, and we should to the extent that we can. But they're not all going back. But even that being as it is, we still have the numbers and the resources to take back the society and run it for the benefit of the people, which means all the people, but it certainly means white people, because white people are still the majority. And it, you know, if you're not running things, if you're running things adverse in a way that's contrary to the interests of the majority population, then there's something gravely wrong. That doesn't mean you have to run things exclusively for the benefit of the majority population. You can run things for the benefit of everybody, but if you're not benefiting if you're not even considering the interests of the majority population, there's something seriously wrong. I think nothing more needs to be said. So we can take back the situation. It has to be through honest talking, breaking through taboos, and you know what the Jews are doing with the extremism is a lot of Jews recognize that it's very dangerous for themselves. It's very contrary. It's very high risk for their own interests. It's very high risk. Lots of Jews recognize this. And so that's that. Okay. Well, I hope that was exciting. I hope to have my special guest coming up soon, but tomorrow we should have the Patrick and Jeremy show. So stay tuned for that, and I'll be back with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.